You could not be closer to my own heart in the idea of loving our city well as a church, literally flipping our church inside out so that people would get to experience each of us uniquely, independently, not just relying on the hope that they might show up at a 9 o'clock service or an 11 o'clock service, but the fanning out of all that is inside of this place for San Diego to know Jesus more. So, we're calling the series I Heart SD, and I was taking notes last night, and it was funny. I started on a legal pad, and then all of a sudden, the whole sermon came out on a legal pad, and I've never preached from a legal pad, so it could be weird, but it started there, and then I was like, oh no, I can't stop, and so it's all coming out of here. But I wrote this down as an introduction. I'm going to tell you, if you really love San Diego or not, there are levels of love for San Diego. I'm going to detail them for you. It's very simple. It's not like complicated to understand. You will fit in one of these three categories, okay? So pay attention and determine and display your love for San Diego through this activity, okay? Sounds good? The first one is this. You love San Diego if you've lived here your whole life. Anybody, a lifer, San Diego, born and bred, you are like, I was born up in this place, I live in this place, I will die in this place. That's morbid, but that's you. Are you born and raised? I'm sorry to inform you, your love is the least amongst all of these. You are a freshman in your level of love according to this grid that I made up last night. It's very official. So, you've got freshman level love. Sophomore, junior varsity love, the JV team of love for San Diego is defined by this. If you've moved here from somewhere else, right? Anybody transplant in from somewhere else? Your love for San Diego, believe it or not, is more rich than people who have been born here. They don't know like snow. They don't see like in Phoenix yesterday, they were driving through like wakeboard like weather. It was like this deep of water on the highway. You don't know that if you're in, well, if you go through Mission Valley, you know that. But if you've moved here from somewhere else, you're like on the JV love team for San Diego. You love San Diego, but you're like on the JV team. Better than the freshman team. Freshman team, you're like, oh, my voice is changing. But JV, at least you know a little bit about what's going on in your world. The varsity level love, though, I sit in this love zone. Do you know what it is? You lived here. You moved away. And then somehow you crawled back, right? That's how you're like the level 10 varsity love for San Diego. You get to wear the varsity shirt. You get the Letterman, I Heart SD. That's you. You can look down in disgust on everybody else and say, nobody has sacrificed more for San Diego than I have because I was here, I was gone, and the Lord, bless his holy name, has brought me back. That's where I sit today. I'm very excited. Can you tell? I'm excited because after service, you know what I'm going to do? Teach 301, come back here, teach 11, and then you know what I'm doing? I'm unpacking boxes into our place. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much. So I'm wearing the last pair of jeans I could find out of a piece of luggage, and tomorrow, next week, I will come with clean clothes. It will feel amazing. So have grace on me this morning as we get through. We're talking about loving San Diego. We're talking about loving your city. And it's the perfect season for that. Although the weather is changing. San Diego, once it gets below 70 degrees, everyone breaks out all their winter clothes. Look at me. I'm wearing a jacket. I see you. I see some people not wearing sleeves. You are brave people. You're a brave person. But you're outside more, right? The things came out of the air. It was called rain, which totally thrashed with things called trees that drop leaves, right? It's probably all over your yard. I was outside of our new place going like, oh my gosh, I love it. I get to clean this up. It's super weird. I'm twisted. But I'm looking across the street and I've got a neighbor that I've yet to meet. And I'm like, oh, look at the people outside. Yay, we're in the neighborhood. When I was growing up, I didn't have a good neighborhood experience, though, growing up. My parents, I don't know why they chose to do this. Actually, I know why. We had gone through a bankruptcy when I was like really young, and we moved out of Rancho San Diego into like a month-to-month rental. But that rental was in a really funky area in Spring Valley. Anybody like spend time in Spring Valley? I'm ride or die Spring Valley. 91977, yo. Right? That's me. And our house was strange. It was a rental tucked back, so you never saw it from the street. But what you saw, like the curb appeal for the house that we lived in, there was the Valley Farm Market, if you're familiar with Campo Road. Then there was a super dive biker bar. Then there was a tattoo shop, because that makes sense. They're like friends, right? And then eventually there was like a smoke shop, and they were like a glassware place. There was like pipes, but glassware, right? And market, dive bar, tattoo parlor, smoke shop, and then a used car lot that had two lots, and then this itty-bitty driveway that went back, and then our house was right there. So you can imagine, like, Halloween, like trick-or-treating, I was all about that. I was like, wander down in a costume with my brothers to the market, and they'd drop like carne asada in your bag, right? And then to the biker bar, we would go to the back of the biker bar, and they'd give you like beer bottle caps, and you're like, awesome, I don't know what to do with that. And then tattoo shop, they're like, oh, let's look around here. We got like old drawings, and my mom was like, oh my gosh, what is this? And then the used car lot, they'd always give us like trinkets that they would use for marketing, so they'd give us like sample packs of like Armor All wipes, and then we would just wipe everything at our house with like sample Armor All stuff. But that was the neighborhood that I grew up in. Rough neighborhood. It was like actually the best, one of some of my favorite memories in life. But there was one group of people that somehow lived in proximity to us, and they had chickens, and I'll tell you more about those chickens one day. But those were the only neighbors, true people that lived in a home next to us. And as we get into this series, iHeartSD, I imagine the outcomes are going to be pretty epic. It's going to be how we as people love the people we're in proximity to. And it's not just a good idea from church. It's God's mandate that we would love him and we would love others just as viciously as we love ourselves. So I wanted to start by playing a neighbor game to get you warmed up to the series. This is the famous neighbor game. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a picture of a famous neighbor. And I want you, with whoever you came with or whoever you're sitting by, that's your neighbor today, I want you to tell me who they were neighbors of. Okay, I don't want you to tell me who the people were. I want you to tell me who they were neighbors of. Sounds good? I want you to keep score, because whoever loses, you're buying lunch afterwards. Okay, competition. Let's go for the first slide. Are you ready? Theme music, first slide. Let's start old school. Okay, whoa, don't yell at me. Don't yell at me. Do you know who are they neighbors of? Lucille and Ricky. Good. Yeah. That, for people like not in this era, this was television. These people were on TV. You have a chance. Okay. So next one. Ready? Neighbors to Seinfeld, right? Neighbors to Jerry Seinfeld. That guy cracked me up. I loved watching my parents watch the show, because my parents were like, ha, it's so funny. Next. Tim the Tool Man Taylor. This guy is actually kind of a creeper, right? You only ever saw like the brim of his hat. If that was my neighbor showing up, I'd be like, hey, buddy, Mace. Tim the Tool Man Taylor, next one. What was the family name, though? What was the family name? The Winslows. You remember these guys? Yes. Anybody get down on some Family Matters? Anybody? Family Matters era? Yes. I see that hand. Okay, next. Simpsons, no brainer, right? If you grew up as a good Christian, you did not know the answer to this, right? I see you. I know you, hypocrites. Okay, so last one. That's right, all my SpongeBob fans. This is Squidward, poor guy. He's just tortured eternally, a soul tortured for his neighbor. Most of us are good at IDing famous neighbors, but how well do we know our real neighbors is the actual question I want to dig into today. And when you came in, each of you guys got one of these cards. Will you guys look inside your program today and look for this card? I want to take and I want to give you 1 minute to do something collectively, you and whoever you came with or by yourself. This is representative of where you're at currently in your home. You see there's three marks on it. One says name, one says facts, one says story. I want you to take 1 minute and as a personal kind of reflection, I want you to detail who your neighbors are just by name. I don't want you to do anything else, just the name portion. For some of you guys, you're going like, oh my gosh, I don't know a single soul. For some of you, you're like, oh, just wait. So 1 minute, I'm going to give it to you to fill out the neighbors around your house, who's across the street, who's next to you, who's the house behind you. Ready, set, go. I'll give you some theme music. 1 minute to fill it out. I see some people not writing at all. You just straight up gave up. It's you just gave up. You just gave up.
Beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood. A neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine?
Okay, 20 more seconds.
I have always
asking, no phoning a friend, no calling your mom.
I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day.
All right, let's wrap this thing. Was that a minute? Is that fair? Was that a minute? In the sound booth, can I get a verification? Was that a minute? Okay, good. Yeah, thumbs up. Okay, I'm going to give you a breakdown. How many people feel like they failed miserably? Anybody? Anybody feel like you failed miserably? It's okay, you're in church. Jesus loves you. Okay, what about how many people got all the squares filled in? Anybody get all the squares filled in? Oh, you're my hero. Okay, I'm going to give you a breakdown. Okay, if you filled out 7 of the 8 spaces available, that's 87%, right? I'm going to give you percentages right now. That's a B. You get a B if you got 7 out of 8. If you got 6 out of 8, that's actually 75%. In school, yo, that's a C. C. If you got 5 out of 8, that's 62%. That's a D. But you know what my mom always told me? Mijo, D's get degrees. So my mom told me. For some of us, if you did this with like a spouse, you got super triggered because you're probably married to an achiever. And then you realize in your shame, right, that you did not know the names of your neighbors. My parents are super good about knowing the people that live around them. My dad knew the owner of the used car lot that we worked for. My dad strangely knew the name of the bar owner. I don't know how that happened because I never saw my dad at that bar. But he knew that guy. The smoke shop, my parents were like, yeah, no. But the tattoo place, even the tattoo place, my parents had like a surface level relationship with those folks. My wife, Fallon, is super good about this. She knows people so well. And I am eternally on the struggle bus when it comes to knowing people and knowing their names. So if you failed miserably, there's grace. We're going to go through a few weeks of time together where this is going to be like that thing at Ralph's. You remember that competition, the Monopoly game, and you're buying excess amounts of stupid groceries just so you can get more stickies, right, to like lick and like hopefully like make a set. This is going to be something I want you to go home and put on your fridge, because together as a group, as a church, I want us to know our neighbors well. So this is going to be a challenge. If you look at the two other parts of this grid, it's got facts, right? And it's got story. And the hope is that if you know your neighbors, maybe you can get a little bit more known. If you don't know, these are some things that you can use as intel, right? To know them better. Facts are like, how many kids do they have? How long have they been in the neighborhood? The story part is not like the stories you and your family tell about them, right? When they're not there. This is like, what is their story? And hopefully you'll get a little bit of this information as we get deeper and deeper, and I start to give you tools about how to be a better neighbor and how to bless your neighbor ultimately. We'd be surprised, I think, at how little we know about the people who God's actually put around us. And today, as we start the new series, I Heart, this is the goal, right? The cause is that we will be led as individuals to know our neighbors better. The effect will be so that ultimately as a community, as a church, we will be able to bless those neighbors. And the full goal for the series is that we would collectively know our community, our city, so that we can be a blessing to it. The idea of being present and being known for being loving and being available to others isn't something that we sat in an office and we decided as a group. It was given to us as a model by Jesus himself. I don't know if you have connected the dots there, but our first scripture, or actually the scripture that is like our theme verse, kind of gives us the detail for the entire series. If you want to put it up on the screens, it is John 1:14. We can actually read it together, and we'll dissect it together. It says this, ready? Go. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. If you took that line, just leave that up there, and you wrote each of those segments on their own line, it is an incredible picture of the kind of person that Jesus is. Glory, you get to see with your own eyes. He moved in the neighborhood. When it says the Word became flesh and blood, that word is a synonym. It's for Jesus. It's Jesus became flesh and blood. One of a kind glory, like Father, like Son. You want to know what the Father is like? Just examine Jesus. Generous, inside and out, true from start to finish. All incredible descriptions and details of who God is and his character. When God became man through Jesus, he came to us by being born, and he came into the neighborhood. He came to the hood. He came to 9177, right between the tattoo parlor and the used car shop. Jesus came to that space. He left a very comfortable existence with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he showed us a new display of love and access to God himself. And this is the anchor for our entire series. This is the anchor for our whole time together as we unpack the I Heart concept. Jesus came to be with us, and God moved into our world. He moved into our mess to display a new way of living. And he called that living, he called that love, that display of belief and belonging, the kingdom of God. And that kingdom mentality was a massive countercultural display. It was a statement that worked against everything that culture in Jesus' era was about. So, everyone mattering in the kingdom of God. That was Jesus' message. In a season when it was viciously segmented and it was patriarchal, is that the right word? Where it's like, you're better than this person because you're born into something that this person wasn't born into. Hierarchical? Okay, keep going. The rich, the poor, it didn't matter. Whatever gender you were, it didn't matter. Whatever ethnicity you were, it didn't matter. Jesus displayed love to all people equally, and he said, my Father made you in his image, therefore you have value, therefore you should be loved. And Jesus blessed and he loved and he spent time with people everywhere he went. And he gave us, his followers, the exact same commandment. If you are a Jesus person, if you say that you love and live for Jesus, then the commandment is also sent to you to bring love, to be peacemakers. If you're going to fill this in, we are going to love our city. We must understand that we are two things. First, we are sent people. We are sent people to bless people where they work and where they live and where they play, where they live, where they work, where they play. We're sent people to bless people. If you're new to the church, welcome. This is a phenomenal series to jump into because you're going to not just hear what our church is striving for, you're going to hear the mandate from God himself for all believers globally. This is what our lives ought to be about. God, by definition, gave us the commandment. He gave us the direction that we're supposed to love all people that we're in proximity to. The word peace in scripture is the word shalom. You've ever heard that? Shalom. It means full of peace, full of grace, full of love, full of life. So I wrote, we're supposed to be ride or die shalomers in my notes. I don't know if that makes sense in yours, but to me, we're supposed to be ride or die shalomers. That's our mandate. Jesus says, love all people. That's what I wrote in my notes. People who bring peace, who are known for love and grace and generosity, and not because that's who we are. It's because that's who God is. God is generous. God is gracious. God is loving. God ends up becoming our model. And when it says that we're sent people, that scripture that's just below it, Jesus, it's Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, Jesus came and he told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, action word, you can underline that, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I've given you, and be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you're wrestling this morning with where God is, you can circle, I am with you always, a great promise to always hold close to your heart. God is with you always, especially as we talk about what it looks like to love our people well. So, what does that look like to be blessed and be sent? The question that we need to go over as we dig into this is, where do our blessings come from? And it comes ultimately from God, but I want to read you Genesis 12, 2 and 3. It says this, I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, hear me. You might be seeing this and reading this and being like, oh my gosh, God is going to make me great amongst all nations. And as much as I would love that to be true, it's actually written to a very specific person in Genesis, written to Abraham. But while this written is not written to you, you get to experience the dividends of that blessing. In the Old Testament, divided by your Bible, God blessed Abraham, and Abraham then blessed all human beings from there on forward. In the New Testament, Jesus, he is the blessing. Jesus is the blessing, and he gives himself to his disciples, and he says, through you, all people will know the love of my Father. That affects us. That also puts us in line to be carriers, conduits of that same love. So we have to ask this question for the series. What if every church blessed every neighborhood? What if every church blessed every neighborhood? We love this idea as churchgoers. Yeah, we're going to bless our city. So good. Yesterday, we were at the Oktoberfest with, what was the name of the organization, Kelly? Educate. It was awesome. We were a blessing to all the kids there. They were all playing. We had a soda garden while their parents had a beer garden. So cool, right? Kids were getting hopped up. They're all going to go to the dentist later this month. But it was a blessing to them. That was what our church decided to do. But the real challenge, the dig for us, is the second question. What if every Christian blessed every neighbor? This is a way deeper. Now you're kind of into my personal space. I get that every church can bless every neighborhood, but what does it look like for every Christian, every believer of Jesus, to bless every neighbor? Here's what I believe. If we're not going to do this at the micro level, individuals, there's no way we can expect to do it at the macro level as an organization. So often we rely on the organization to give us cues as to what it looks like, but I'm telling you this, Jesus' mandate was person to person, people to people, group to group, in that order. And so we have to ask ourselves, Jesus, show us what it looks like to be people who bless our neighbors so that we can look like a church that blesses our neighborhood. Now I want to give you a little look at what could be a really amazing way to see what it looks like to be a blessing. It's on the other side of your handout, and it's an acronym for the word BLESS. And if you can commit to doing some of these things, I think it will surprise you, it will shock you at what God could do through it. So, Let's start with the letter B. B means begin. It stands for begin with prayer. Begin in and with prayer. This is how you can begin to bless people. Why would you begin with prayer? Because you don't know what it looks like to bless somebody else. So you have to ask, God, show me what it looks like to bless the people around me. Give me insight as to what their needs might be. Show me where they might be hurting in a way that I might uniquely be able to come to that equation. Also, you need to pray because intrinsically in our humanity, we are selfish people and we don't want to bless other people. We want to make sure we're good and we won't think about somebody else until we feel like we're complete in and of ourselves. Well, you know what the problem is? You're never complete. Only God ends up completing you. So we have to ask God, tune and change our heart so that we could see the hurt and the needs of the people around us. So we begin with prayer. The L, listen. Listen. Show up. This is actually one of my favorite quotes from Rick Warren. You want to know what it is? It's so pastoral. Rick says, when people are hurting, the best thing to do, show up and shut up. Easy. You don't have to be a scholar to do that. When people are hurting, show up and just be quiet. Just be present. Don't try to unpack all the, you know, verses on grief for somebody. Just show up and be present. They call it the ministry of presence. When you listen, do you understand what you get out of it? It's listening equals loving. Listening equals loving. It lets you discover what people's hopes are, what their dreams are, what their challenges are, fears, needs. It's all intel that you get to use later, right? It's like you're a spy and you're trying to figure out what it is that they need in their life, what's going on maybe between them and their spouse. When you listen, the Lord starts to show you what's going on in a way that you can uniquely maybe come as a blessing later. The next letter, E, this is a good one, eat, eat. And this is not as a treat to yourself because you prayed for somebody and you listened to them, okay? You're like, oh, Jesus loves us. Okay, let's treat ourselves. Dairy Queen, we did it. No, the commandment is actually a biblical ritual. You look at Jesus all through the New Testament. I love, he brings people from every walk of life together to share a meal. Why? He does it because he's creating space for them to go deeper relationally. You want to have a really great time with your spouse, go out and eat. You wouldn't believe the kind of conversation you have. Are you plagued by busyness? Get together and eat. You'll start to have space which will allow you to share, right? Unless the meal is so good like Phil's and then nobody talks. You're just like, bah. When you invite your neighbors over to eat, it's one of the most transparent things you can do, because what are you doing? You're inviting them where? Maybe into your home. That's a very sacred place. But man, I'll tell you what, the statement of I want to know you, it goes through the roof. Maybe eating together is a little like, whoa, that's a risky step, but maybe you can meet somewhere in the middle. Like if you're at an apartment, you have a park, or maybe you can invite somebody after a game with all the teammates that you have or all the parents you've got. Maybe you just say, hey, we're going to bring lunch this time and let's spend some time together. Eating is Jesus' secret weapon to getting inside of people's worlds. You can use this weapon also. S, serve. Serve corporately, yes. That will happen together as a church. That's what Tyler was talking about. But when we serve people, we don't realize it, but we're most like Jesus when we serve. I actually think that your faith is amplified when you personally serve somebody else's needs. And oh, I want to tell you a story so bad, but we're running out of time. Short version of the story. We lived in South Park on 28th Street, and my neighbors across the way were super gang affiliated. Like, I knew it was up to no good, but I was praying, Jesus, show me what it looks like to love these people well. One day I'm out washing my car, and my neighbor from across the street, he goes, orale, my car next or what? And I'm like, what, dude? How dare you? But okay, because I was scared. So he pulls his car up and literally I'm washing my car and then I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to wash this guy's car too. Please don't kill my family. So I'm washing his car also. Random act, not strategized. I wash his car. As he's pulling his car away, we're on a slant. If you know 28th Street, it's all the hills by downtown. He kicks his car into gear. It rolls back. It kicks into my car, like bumps into my car. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Okay, so then he's like hard on the clutch, gets out of there. I don't see the guy for like 2 weeks. I see his girlfriend though, and I ask his girlfriend, hey, how are you guys? Because we're across the street neighbors. Hey, how are you guys? She's like, oh, my boyfriend died. And I was instantly taken back. I was a pastor at The Rock at the time, and I was like, I'm so sorry. The only thing that came to my mind were we met in the middle of the street, and I just said, can I pray for you? And I didn't know what else to do. I said, can I pray for you? And she was like, oh, I would love that. She didn't know I was a pastor. So I just put my hands on her chola hair. And I was like, Jesus, I pray that you would just love this family right now. And it was like all crunchy because of the mousse. But I was believing that Jesus was going to do something big in that moment. And it was crazy because the next day I woke up, I came out of my house, and I kicked two bottles of 40s that were on my front door because I don't usually keep 40s on my front doorstep. But I was like, oh my gosh, what are these? And then she was across the street, and she was like, and I was like, she was saying, you did something for me. Does that make sense? Random, dumb, but it was like in the moment, and I felt like Jesus worked through it. I just served her boyfriend by washing his car, but later, man, in a moment where she needed to know that God was there, it happened. Serve your neighbor, and who knows what God will do, right? Sorry, I told that story, and now I'm late on the clock. The last one. Story. If you're diligent to do all of those things, B-L-E-S, it's going to set you up to be able to share your story and comfortably hear the story of your neighbor. You're going to already be so connected in so many different facets. It's not going to be awkward to be like, hey, so tell me your story. And I think that God does something really great when you involve somebody's story. He shows up in the details. And if the band, you guys want to start making your way up. I believe through that basic, super easy setup, Jesus wants to and will do incredible things in our community through our neighbors. For every person that's here, multiply that by seven. If you have people all around you, you couldn't imagine, you couldn't fathom the blessing that God would want to pour out on each of our communities if we took this seriously for this series. Are you with me? I want to pray deeply. I want to play real for you. I want us to sing a song over you like a prayer as we close up. Because I think God is going to do something really amazing. He's already with us. He's already in our midst. He's already together. To finish out the thing, prayer as we pray, it's both how we're going to discover and do our mission. And that's what this song is going to be all about. I want to pray over you guys because God is going to do something big. We need to be praying that we're going to find him as he's working. Scripture has this great verse. We'll close with it, John 5:17. It says, Jesus said, my father is always at work, and so am I. He's like, you know Jesus' dad was Mexican, because that's my dad, right? He's always working. I want to know what my dad is doing, because I want to be about my dad's work. We don't have to call God to action. He's moving actively among us. The question is, are we willing to join him? I believe the iHeart series is going to get us there. For some of us, I know that we are in this place because we're hoping to find Jesus in chaos. And I'm telling you, when we orient ourselves to serve, you find him, because that's where he is actively. So I